This is the English translation of the message delivered by Reverend Akemi Kanda on December 14th, 2025. The message title is Congratulations, You Who Are Favored. The scripture passage is from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Good morning, everyone. Today, we have entered the third week of Advent. Next week, we'll have a Christmas worship service. We are spending these Advent days with growing joy over the fact that Jesus came into this world for us. At the same time, the year has gone by very quickly, and we are about to welcome a new year. Today, from the passage of Mary's Annunciation, I would like for us to think together about grace, to count the grace that has been given to us, and above all, to once again confirm Jesus Christ, who is the greatest grace of all. Now let us read today's scripture passage. It is from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Today's sermon title is "Congratulations, You Who Are Favored." As we see in verse 28, these are the very first words spoken to Mary by the angel Gabriel, who was sent for the Annunciation. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." However, rather than rejoicing at this greeting, Mary was greatly perplexed. Verse 29 says that she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. For Mary, this event was not something she could immediately understand as a blessing. It was completely unexpected and utterly incomprehensible. As we read the Bible, it seems that there is a common feature among those who were called by God and encountered Him. That feature is this: they hardly knew that the day they would meet God was coming. How about us, or how about you? On the day you were converted, The day you came to know Jesus personally as your Savior, did you know in advance that the day would come? In most cases, we encounter God at an unexpected time and in an unexpected way. Here, I would like us to focus on the words, "You who are favored," in verse 28. In the original language, this expression is written in the perfect tense. That is, it indicates something that happened in the past and continues into the present. Furthermore, this word is in the passive voice. Mary did not obtain grace as a result of accomplishing something. Rather, apart from her own will or effort, by God's sovereignty, she had already been placed in a state of having received grace. In verse 30, Gabriel says, "You have found favor with God." Whether Mary was aware of it or not, she was already placed within God's grace. That was God's declaration. The same is true for us. A Christian can be described as one who has received grace literally from God, not by one's own achievements or abilities, and despite being undeserving. Also, if you look at the footnote for the phrase "greetings, you who are favored," you will see that it can be translated as "rejoice." In the Korean Bible, this passage actually includes the phrase "rejoice." It was also a greeting commonly used at that time. The joy of this world is often born when we accomplish something, when our wishes come true, or when we gain some advantages. But the joy the Bible teaches us is different. The reason we rejoice is this: because the Lord has given us grace. And at the center of that grace, as even the angel says, is this: the Lord is with you. It is not the greatest grace that has been given to us. Verse 29 describes Mary being greatly troubled by Gabriel's appearance and greeting. I think this is a very natural human reaction. In a rural town called Nazareth, a young girl, said to have been about 12 years old, suddenly has an angel appear before her and say, "Congratulations." And on top of that, she's told, "You will conceive and give birth to a child." There was one problem. At that time, Mary was in a situation where she must not become pregnant. Culturally, legally, and personally, this was a scandal and an event that could even put her life in danger. We tend to think, why didn't God send the angel when Joseph was with her? Or it would have been better if he had appeared to the whole town and explained everything. But God appears to one person and speaks to one person. He values a one-on-one relationship. Mary, too, was suddenly placed at the center of a scandal. There is a scene where Jesus protects a woman caught in adultery, but at this point, the Jesus who would defend Mary had not been yet born. Joseph was also afraid. Matthew chapter 1 records that he decided to send Mary away secretly without exposing her to public disgrace. At this time, many thoughts must have been crossed Mary's mind, and she must have carried many fears. Then in verse 34, Mary asks the angel, "How will this be, since I do not know a man?" These words are neither rebellion nor rejection. Rather, they are a question that arises precisely because she wants to believe God. Doubt and unbelief are different. Unbelief is denying God from the beginning and closing one's heart. Doubt, however, is a question born from the struggle of wanting to believe but not being able to understand. Many people who appear in the Bible directed such questions to God. Abraham, Moses, David, and the psalmists all continued to ask God, why and how long? And God is not one who rebukes such questions, but one who listens to them. The same thing happened in our Christian lives. There are events we want to believe, but cannot fully believe, trials we cannot understand, and times when we pray yet see no answer. A faith that can easily explain everything may in fact be very superficial. True faith is to continue standing before God while carrying what we do not understand. Asking God questions is not unbelief. Rather, thinking we already understand or presuming to decide God's will ahead of time is what can actually distance us from God. Mary did not hide her fear or confusion. She presented them as they were before God. Here we see a personal relationship with God. After hearing the angel's explanation, Mary confesses in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Within these short words, we can see three great graces given to Mary. The first is the grace of being chosen by God. Regarding Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, verse 6 of chapter 1 introduces them as both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. They were admirable people in both faith and character. But what about Mary? What is written about her is simply that she was a virgin in the town of Nazareth and betrothed to a Joseph. No special achievements of faith or spiritual accomplishments are recorded. God's choosing is mysterious in this way. Mary was not chosen because she desired or prayed to become the mother of the Savior. Rather, a young girl who was unprepared and seemingly insignificant was chosen. The same is true for us. We cannot fully understand the reason God chooses us, but even if we do not know the reason, the certainty of His choosing does not change. This too is a grace. The second is the grace of being given faith. Mary did not obey because she understood everything. Even when she confessed, may it be done to me according to your word, she did not know what her future life would hold. And yet, she was given the strength to believe God's word. In Luke chapter 1, verse 45, Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Augustine also said of this passage, before Mary conceived Jesus Christ in her body, she conceived him in her heart by faith. It is not by our own strength that we can confess Jesus as Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3 tells us that No one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The third is the grace of being led into obedience. Mary's confession in verse 38 is a confession of entrusting her entire life to God. The words, "I am the Lord's servant," express an awareness of belonging, knowing to whom she belongs. And the words, "May it be done to me according to your word," reveal Mary's resolve to live in obedience to God's word. However, this obedience was by no means a safe or easy path. Misunderstanding due to pregnancy during betrothal, the eyes of those around her, Joseph's inner struggle, the flight to Egypt after Jesus' birth, and later the pain of watching her son walk towards the cross, all of these awaited her. Even so, Mary continued to offer herself to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 exhorts us in the same way. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Are we not also invited in this Advent season to offer ourselves as living sacrifices pleasing to God, whatever our circumstances may be? And the power that makes such obedience possible is also given by God as grace. In conclusion, congratulations, you who are favored. The Lord is with you. These words were not spoken only to Mary 2,000 years ago. They are words spoken likewise to each one of us who has been saved through Jesus Christ. In our lives, many events we cannot understand and realities that confuse us more than make us rejoice will continue to occur. Anxiety, fear, and doubt may fill our hearts. Yet, in the midst of all that, God declares to us, "The Lord is with you." In this Advent season, let us wait expectantly, even if our circumstances do not immediately change, even if we cannot see the answer. The grace that God is with us has already been given. Because we do not understand, we ask God. Because we are afraid, we draw near to God. Because we are weak, we cling to God's grace. Through such a walk, we are further shaped into a people who live as those who are favored. May each one of us, in this Advent season, fix our eyes on the grace that has been given to us and walk in the joy of "The Lord is with you." Let us pray.